From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. There is a growing movement around the country among municipalities to regulate short-term rentals. By that, we're often talking about a single-family home frequently rented through a website such as Airbnb or VRBO for a few days at a time. Some say this new cottage industry is forcing established hotels to compete for tourism dollars, and it's changing the quality of life in residential neighborhoods. Others argue the ability to rent out one's home for a weekend here and there contributes to neighborhood and regional prosperity. There's now an organized push in downtown Wilmington to take a closer look at how to regulate short-term rentals. Spearheaded by the neighborhood organization Residents of Old Wilmington, the city is taking public input on the issue through an online survey, which you'll be able to find at our website once this edition of Coastline is posted at whqr.org. The survey closes April 1st, at which point city staff members will compile the data and begin the process of drafting potential regulations. Here to talk with us about the issue today is Celette Andrews. She's the creator of the North Carolina Alliance for Neighborhood Prosperity, an advocacy group dedicated to legalizing and regulating private home rentals in a fair, reasonable, and equitable manner. She opposes the recent efforts to limit short-term rentals in downtown Wilmington. Celette Andrews, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sylvia Kotler is the president of Residents of Old Wilmington, or RO, a neighborhood association in downtown Wilmington involved in the effort to regulate short-term rentals within residential neighborhoods. Sylvia Kotler, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
We're also fortunate to have the zoning administrator from the City of Wilmington to provide us with expertise on what's actually part of the current code and possibly how things could change. Catherine Thurston, welcome.
Thank you, Rachel.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a comment about how short-term rentals might work, how they might impact your neighborhood, how they are currently impacting your neighborhood, send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. We already have a couple of emails that we will get to in this first segment, but let's begin with why this issue is coming up in the first place. Sylvia Kotler of Residents of Old Wilmington, why do you think short-term rentals need regulation?
Well, Rachel, first I just want to clarify that the current conversation got started because certain short-term rental owners wanted to change the code. The current code does not permit rentals in neighborhoods for periods of less than a week, and many of these short-term rentals were renting for the weekend. And so they came forward asking that the code be changed to permit even shorter-term rentals. And Residents of Old Wilmington, we were advocating that the code be enforced. And what we were hearing from city staff is that a weekly rental rule is nearly impossible for city code enforcement to enforce. So that's really how the dialogue got started.
And why? Well, let's talk first of all then, Catherine Thurston, about what kinds of codes are on the books right now. What is on the books that could be enforced that is not being enforced?
The city ordinance doesn't currently have a definition for short-term rental. Since most of these rentals are in residential districts, they are classified as a housing unit, which is a term defined in our land development code. And housing units are dwellings for, to make it short, living and cooking facilities for a single family unit. The code also defines family as no more than three unrelated people. So using those two definitions in our code, we are able to limit the length of time that someone has to rent their home and the number of people to whom they can rent.
So what is the current limit then on the amount of time that someone can rent their home?
Someone would have to rent a single family residence for a minimum of 1 week, 7 days, and to no more than three unrelated people.
So then it's technically illegal within the city of Wilmington to rent out one's home for a weekend, Friday through Sunday, for instance.
That is correct.
Celette Andrews, you represent an organization that wants to enable single-family homeowners to do more of this short-term renting. Why do you think that's a positive for a neighborhood?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why it's a positive for a neighborhood. The bottom line being economic development and jobs. I know that a lot of people in Wilmington have been struggling with the loss of film jobs. And we as local landlords, we not only bring tourists and tourist dollars into the local economy, we not only pay room occupancy taxes, sales taxes, property taxes, income taxes, a lot of those dollars that go into the local economy. We hire local landscapers, we hire local housekeepers, we hire local handymen and contractors. And there's really a very positive effect as those dollars multiply in the local community.
So it is, though, currently illegal to rent out one's home in the city of Wilmington for a couple of days, but people are doing that.
Yes, well, I just found that out today after asking the city for 2 years. I've been waiting for an answer for almost 2 years from the city, so it's good to finally have an answer from the city. As we've discussed, it's very much hidden in the code. It's hidden in obscure definitions. And it really is, yes, it's difficult to enforce a week. It's difficult to enforce really any kind of minimum.
Why is that so tough to enforce from a practical standpoint, Catherine Thurston?
Well, a lot of the research would be online and based on what the person offering the house for rent says the rental period is. If there's a suspicion that it's being rented for periods less than 7 days, we would have to do some sort of an investigation involving either interviewing the tenants or potentially trying to rent the dwelling for less than 7 days ourselves.
Are there any city staff members who are dedicated to doing that kind of thing at this point?
We currently have one zoning officer who handles all of the short-term rental violations, but that's in addition to many, many other duties.
Sylvia Kochler, what is it about single-family homeowners renting out their homes for a period of a weekend that Roe finds objectionable?
Well, again, it's not just Roe. Lots of neighborhoods and neighborhood advocates find it objectionable. Let me give you five reasons. First of all is quality of life. I mean, Wilmington obviously needs attractive, vibrant, healthy, quiet, safe neighborhoods for the residents to live in. And those are neighborhoods that should be free of business activity, where neighbors live next door to neighbors and support each other. If you have a group of transients next door, that changes the quality of life in the neighborhood. Second, a lot of the weekend rentals are being done by people who are doing activities that a hotel won't tolerate. The reason they're in a house and not a hotel room is because they want to have a late night party. They want to have too many people crammed into small rooms. There's going to be drinking. There's going to be urinating in the bushes and vomit on the sidewalk or worse. I mean, this kind of weekend party house can absolutely destroy a neighborhood. And short-term rental owners say to that, well, if that kind of conduct goes on, and remember, usually there's no owner on site. The investor lives somewhere else and rents the house out locally. They say, just call the police. But our police have a lot of different priorities, a lot of more important priorities than basically serving as what would be hotel security for a short-term rental, which is basically a hotel operating in a residential neighborhood. Third, it's a slippery slope. If we make an exception for this type of business, and it's clearly a business, it's more akin to a hotel than a residential rental. If we make an exception for this kind of business, you know, where does it stop? The person who wants to operate their hair salon out of their house, or the person who wants to repair cars for other people in their driveway, the law office that wants to operate out of a house. We've seen downtown businesses like these attempt to encroach on neighborhoods. Every time the residents have gone to the city and asked for code enforcement, and every time the city has agreed, yes, that's a business, it doesn't belong in a residential neighborhood, and they've enforced the code and stopped it. We've asked for the same kind of enforcement with short-term rentals. Fourth, I think we all lose sight of the fact that residential zoning is good public policy. Successful modern cities have been choosing to set aside residential neighborhoods and prohibit commercial activity in those neighborhoods for decades. Wilmington certainly has. What residential zoning does is it promotes investment in residential houses. It creates an attractive neighborhood. That attracts business because CEOs, job creators, want nice neighborhoods for themselves and for their employees. And it ensures that we have sufficient workforce affordable housing. There are many economic studies being done right now that indicate that when houses are shifted from homes for families to being rental units for vacationers, that that significantly reduces affordable housing for our workforce. And the city right now has identified that as a real problem. We have a city task force working on that because it's a problem here.
There has been a series of summits going on how to promote affordable housing
Yes.
in the city, and that's a knotty question. And I noticed with your very first point about why these short-term rentals shouldn't be allowed, Celette Andrews of the NC Alliance for Neighborhood Prosperity.
Thanks very much. I think I have at least 5 points, too.
And we won't get to all of them before we go to break, but why don't you start with you take issue with the notion that the kind of activity that winds up happening with these rentals is detrimental to quality of life in a neighborhood.
I don't know about any of these instances that Ms. Kochler is talking about in my neighborhood and in my rental home. My clients are families. They're often extended families with grandmothers, adults and children. I have rented to people in the film industry. I've rented to many families that are here for weddings. They're not allowed to have weddings in my home. They're not allowed to have to violate any other nuisance laws. But there are those nuisance laws on the books. And the other thing that we have with our Wilmington Police Department, I'm sure they have statistics that can tell us how many of those crimes are being committed by short-term renters versus long-term renters. And I guarantee that the number would be very small.
And I know you have a lot more that you want to refute about what Sylvia Kochler just said, and we'll get to that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about whether and how short-term rentals should be regulated. What could new rules mean for property owners who expect to earn income on rentals? Tell us how you feel about the issue. Send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. We'll be back in 90 seconds. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're exploring how the city of Wilmington is taking a closer look at short-term rentals of single-family homes. And we're joined by stakeholders on both sides of the issue. Sylvia Kochler of Residents of Old Wilmington wants to see more regulation and code enforcement of short-term rentals. Celette Andrews of the North Carolina Alliance for Neighborhood Prosperity says allowing short-term rentals in residential areas is an economic driver for the region. We also have Catherine Thurston, who is the zoning administrator for the city of Wilmington, our resident expert today. Let us know what you think about the issue as municipalities watch one another carefully to see how they wind up shaping public policy around this issue. You can email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And before we get to our emails, Celette Andrews, you take issue with the notion that short-term rentals diminish the quality of life in a neighborhood. And one of the examples that came up was wedding parties in some of these homes. Wedding parties, we all know, can get pretty crazy, and it's a time when people are really just blowing it out. So how is it, what would you say to someone who says, I live next door to a house that gets rented out for wedding parties, and it really has become a neighborhood nuisance?
Well, first of all, I would say that, if the city would make it clear to everyone and make it very obvious on their website that the short-term rental law does come with a seven-day limit, I think we would get very few weddings. And I think that that would be a bad thing for Wilmington because weddings are a big industry here and they're bringing a lot of money. And that's one of the reasons why I would prefer that the city take another look at this obscure definition and perhaps allow rentals for less than 7 days. Very few people have 7 days plus travel time to take off from work anymore in this economy. And secondly, just the concept that it is a commercial activity. Courts in Florida, Texas, California, as well as the California Coastal Commission have all ruled and upheld appeals to say that short-term rentals are, in fact, a residential activity. The things that I am renting my home for, I'm renting my home for a residential use. People are cooking, they're watching TV, they're sleeping, they're going to the beach, they're doing things that people do in a residential neighborhood.
How much do you think that would change your ability to rent out your home if you were only able to rent it out for 7 days or longer?
It would limit it severely. I could understand having a limit on the number of different tenants, perhaps 50, you know, I could rent it out 52 times a year or something like that. But many people, you know, you mentioned weddings, there's funerals, there's people visiting people in hospitals, there's people bringing their children to the colleges here and picking them up and coming to visit them over Thanksgiving. And most of those people don't have a week or a month off at a time to come to Wilmington, and they will choose to go elsewhere. One of the benchmark cities that was ignored in the or just overlooked, I should say, in the Wilmington benchmark study was Myrtle Beach, who did they did an economic impact analysis a few years ago, and they found out that these short-term rentals have a huge economic impact on the local economy, and it would be very easy. People who want to have a wedding in Wilmington aren't going to decide to have a wedding in San Francisco instead. They're going to go to Myrtle Beach. So it's just dollars that we're saying goodbye to.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about short-term rentals, where and how they should be regulated. We have an email from Tab who writes, "It seems like an overreach of local government that short-term rentals are restricted or prohibited in the greater part of Wilmington and New Hanover County, when owners of beach properties have benefited from short-term rentals for generations with the active support and promotion of these local governments. How is Wilmington, or how should it be different from some of these outlying beach communities, which we know have done this for many years?" Sylvia Kochler.
Rachel, if I could respond to that. Obviously, in beach communities, you have a very different residential mix. A lot of the houses, in fact, maybe a preponderance of the houses, are second homes. And people who have those second homes live elsewhere. They would not care to have short-term rentals back home in their nice neighborhood where they're raising their children. They have a different view of them at the beach community, where they have only a second home that they may want to rent out. So I think that's the Myrtle Beach model. One of the things that the city staff recent study found was that every community's needs are different, that there's no cookie-cutter answer for this. Here in Wilmington, we have neighborhoods that are primary only home residential areas. We're not a beach community with a lot of second homes. Now, to get back to the economic argument, it's painted as though it's either or. Either we allow tourism to overwhelm our residential neighborhoods, or we lose it. But Wilmington is very unique. We can have both, and we think this is the win-win for Wilmington. Wilmington has a lot of housing units in its business districts. All around the business district downtown, there are lovely old homes that are actually zoned business. For instance, some of them have law offices in them today. There are beautiful condos and apartments above retail, right on Front Street. Some of these houses, these housing units, need to be revitalized. Because they're in a business district, families don't choose to make them their homes, and so they can tend to be distressed. So Wilmington can answer the tourist need for a self-catered accommodation and offer to tourists a rental in a home-like environment with a kitchen without sacrificing our neighborhoods, which we need for quality of life for people who are residents, who pay taxes, and who support our economy year-round. That's the win-win, putting the short-term vacation rentals in the business districts where they belong and preserving our neighborhoods for neighbors.
Catherine Thurston with the City of Wilmington. The City of Wilmington, held a public meeting March 17th to get input from stakeholders about this. What are some of the issues that came up for you at this meeting? What did you hear from people?
Sylvia has outlined a lot of the issues that people had who were opposed to short-term rentals, which include parking, noise, issues with guests being drunk. And then I heard a lot from both sides of the issue. So I heard a lot of people talking about the benefit of the short-term rentals in allowing people options whenever they're coming to Wilmington to stay in more of a residential feeling area and get to know the character of the people and not just the commercial districts. And I also heard from people who have renovated houses just for the purpose of using them as short-term rentals. I think that there are a lot of great arguments on both sides of the issue.
And is the city of Wilmington looking at the possibility of overlay districts or aligning, I guess the word would be zoning, what you do?
The city isn't really to the point of looking for solutions. Right now, we're still in the issues and concerns process.
Okay, and again, that online survey, which asks a lot of these questions, is available through April 1st.
That is correct.
Tab also writes, isn't it true that many elderly residents of the historic district, some of them members of ROW, would be able to maintain their residence on a fixed income if they were able to derive income from unused parts of their homes through short-term rental? So he would be talking then about renting out, say, a bedroom in one's home or an attached apartment.
I think it is very rare the older person that wants to rent out a room in their home and have someone come and live with them. But even under the current code, so long as you don't have more than three unrelated people living under the roof, someone always has the option of renting out a room in their home long term. It's the short term. It's the transient that comes and goes. And again, I can't imagine an elderly person wanting to have transient people coming and going in their home. The people who are hurt, in fact, by short-term rentals displacing housing units and turning them into guest lodges, in large part, are students, the elderly, people who work in hospitality, the arts community, people who are looking for affordable homes to rent to live in. And what short-term rentals do is move units from the housing sector and into the vacation guest lodging sector. And many, many economic studies have shown that that significantly reduces the amount of affordable lodging available to those folks and causes rental prices to go higher than they can afford. So I think the elderly on balance benefit from good residential zoning.
Celette Andrews of NC Alliance, you take issue with the notion that short-term rentals negatively impact affordable housing.
Yes,
why?
I take issue with many of the points that have been made here. I just haven't had the opportunity to respond to them. First of all, the idea that people who want vacation homes are able to afford to live at Wrightsville Beach. There are many people who are working class and middle class people who would like to have a vacation home that might become their retirement home that don't have several million dollars lying around to buy a house in Wrightsville Beach. And so
you're talking about people who've purchased a second home,
believe it
as
or
an
not,
investment for down the road.
Absolutely.
That's where we're
and
going.
Believe
in
me, there are plenty of people who don't have $1 million, $3 million lying around to buy a house in Wrightsville Beach, but they certainly have the means to buy a house in Wilmington, restore it, and bring it into the market as a much more beautiful, much more neighborhood home. And the idea that these vacation rentals are affecting affordable housing is just doesn't hold water. The World Health Organization has said by the year 2050, 70% of people in the world, all these millions of people and billions of people on the planet, 70% of them are going to be living in cities. That's up from 50% today. The 100 or so houses that we have on VRBO in Wilmington, they are not magically going to, if you make vacation rentals illegal, they're not magically going to appear on the affordable housing market. People have put a lot of money into restoring these homes, so they're going to sell them for what they're worth. And it's not going to do anything for the affordable housing situation.
When you're talking about someone who's purchased a second home and they're only going to own two homes and they're looking down the road at this as a retirement vehicle, the place they're going to wind up, how much more do they make when they rent out that home on a short-term basis versus renting it out to someone who could live there and have a year-long lease?
Well, the problem with them having a year-long lease, again, it's the idea of, you know, do working class and middle class people deserve to have vacation homes that they can use as a nest egg for retirement? And if that's the purpose of the home, and you rent them out long term, how am I able to use that as a vacation home if I'm renting it out long term? So, and the idea is, if you, again, I probably wouldn't give up my property in Wilmington if I were forced to give up renting it short term. But I probably wouldn't rent it out long term either. So again, it wouldn't do anything for the affordable housing argument, and it would be vacant much more frequently instead of having people coming into the community and spending money.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about short-term rentals today, specifically in Wilmington, but a lot of municipalities around the country and in southeastern North Carolina are looking at the issue. We have an email from Josh who says he owns Nora Allen Group in downtown Wilmington. My wife and I have 8 rentals in downtown and believe in the downtown area. We think getting rid of short-term rentals is behind the times. My question is, why isn't the city concentrating on the large amount of illegal boarding homes in downtown instead of concentrating on VRBOs, Airbnbs that actually bring money and tourism to our city? Illegal boarding homes? Catherine Thurston, is this something that you've heard about before?
We do get complaints on a fairly regular basis about more than 3 unrelated people living together, and that could be what he means.
So
by
college
boarding
students
house.
Possibly who are piling on to get cheaper rent?
It could be. A boarding house is not a use that's defined by our city code. So he may mean guest lodging, which wouldn't be permitted in the residential districts. But generally, that violation would be classified as more than 3 unrelated people, which is often the violation, the same violation used for short-term rentals.
Celette Andrews, you also purchased your home several years ago, and at the time, did you look into the code surrounding short-term rentals?
Absolutely, and there is no definition of short-term rentals in the local code. The state law does have a Vacation Rental Act, which in the absence of a local law that would govern it. I did read the zoning code. As I said before, I've been waiting for 2 years from an answer from the city where this 1-week rule came up. I just learned from Ms. Thurston today the answer to that, and it's hidden in an obscure definition. And so I think the city has some work to do to educate its staff and to educate the public as to what the current laws are. I would say that if the week is a minimum, that they, as they're looking into these codes, that they look into making it less than a week, because many people in our current economy don't have a week plus travel time to take off and come spend money in our city.
Catherine Thurston, has this been something of a surprise for the city? Did this issue, I mean, certainly it's been going on for a long time in one form or another, but now it's really become a centerpiece of dialogue. Why now?
We've gotten complaints about short-term rentals for years. The number and the frequency of these complaints has gone up considerably since Airbnb and VRBO has become more popular. And I think that any time an issue comes up over and over again with the city and there isn't a very clear regulation of the use, that needs to be clarified. And I think that that's what staff is in the process of doing.
Sylvia Kochler from Residents of Old Wilmington, one of our listeners, writes, would Roe rather there be no rentals anywhere in town? Sounds that way. Being a homeowner or long-term renter does not automatically guarantee good behavior. We're talking about tourists, and if they want to and can afford to be transients for a few days, they should be allowed to do so.
I appreciate the question because I don't want there to be any misunderstanding about the position of Roe or any of the many neighborhoods that have weighed in on this. First of all, we absolutely do not oppose residential short-term rentals in the business districts. Again, we think that we can offer tourists that option, with the many housing units that are in those business districts. Many are operating very successfully there now. But we do believe that it is essential that we preserve the quality of life in Wilmington's neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods should not be for sale to commercial interests. There is no question that we get weekend party houses, that we get kinds of behaviors that nobody wants to live next to. And in fact, right now, while short-term rentals are, to the extent they are renting for less than a week, illegal in Wilmington, the recent number from staff is that we have at least 250 operating in our neighborhoods, not 100, but at least 250. And staff says this may be an underestimation because they're so very hard to identify. They don't have signs out front. Now, if we legalize them, and that is, Katie, bar the door, you can rent out for a night, a weekend, whatever, then we're going to have a whole lot more than 250 of them. And our neighborhoods are going to be overwhelmed. And we're going to really lose the quality of life. We're really going to lose the neighborhoods that, as I said, attract new businesses that make this such a wonderful place to live. We need to balance the interests, preserve the neighborhoods, but make short-term rentals available in the business districts. That's the win-win. That way we have it both.
Anonymous writes, we use Airbnb when we travel only when B&Bs, bed and breakfasts, are not available. When we do, we are extremely cognizant that we are in a private neighborhood and act accordingly. I support this type of short-term rental in general, but like many folks, not in my backyard. I sure would not like my neighbors renting their houses for the weekend. This would cause me to move to a neighborhood that does not allow this activity. Celette Andrews.
Yeah, and that's a good point because there are plenty of neighborhoods that don't allow that activity. There's plenty of neighborhoods that have homeowners associations that are able to restrict the length of a rental. It's almost always in any condo or homeowners association, it's at least 30 days. Sometimes it's as long as 6 months is the minimum rental that you can do there. So if you want that kind of security, yeah, there are places that you can live and get that kind of security. But I also wanted to say that, you know, a lot of people are saying that this is a new phenomenon and this has been brought on. First of all, it's not a new phenomenon. People have been renting out houses short term ever since Wilmington was founded. That's how Wilmington was. People had to rent short term in order to build or do business. So it's been around for a long time. And this current debate has really been started by Big Lodging and their AstroTurf website. And I can talk about that
okay,
more.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, why you say that Big Lodging has a big part in this push. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about short-term rentals, how and if they should be regulated. We're about to take a short break. When we come back, we'll take more of your emailed questions at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and today we have City of Wilmington Zoning Administrator Catherine Thurston with us, the president of Residents of Old Wilmington, Sylvia Kochler, and the creator of the North Carolina Alliance for Neighborhood Prosperity, and downtown Wilmington property owner, Celette Andrews. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment about how short-term rentals should work in your municipality, you can write to us today at coastline@whqr.org. And Celette, before we went to break, you were talking about the role that you think what you called Big Lodging might be playing in this push to limit or regulate short-term rentals.
Right. So the lodging industry and their lobbyists have really been at the forefront of why this seems to be such a new phenomenon. It's not. Back in 1907, there was a survey that 30%, a full third of homeowners were renting out their homes to short-term lodgers to try and make ends meet. It was one of the few ways that families could increase their income back in that time period. And it was very, very common all throughout United States history. But what has brought it to the forefront of all these government organizations now is the lobbying of Big Lodging. And if you went to the North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association website just a few weeks before this came up here, they had a link to their at the National AstroTurf website, which is the residents for overnight oversight or something like that, and they ask everybody to send in their scare stories, and then they coach them that you can write automatic letters to the editor and automatic letters to your city council. And it's really all backed by Big Lodging because they don't want the competition from the mom and pops. They don't want the competition from small local businesses. So I think that needs to be brought out in the open.
And Sylvia Kochler, residents of Old Wilmington, talk about the restrictive covenants for a moment. Residents of Old Wilmington is not a homeowners association in the sense that you can impose those kinds of restrictions on members.
No, that's correct. We are a neighborhood association. We represent folks who live in the downtown neighborhoods. Some of them are renters. Those are our neighbors as well. And some of them are homeowners. The thing about a restrictive covenant, I think actually makes our point. Restrictive covenants are often put in place by luxury condos, by gated golf communities, where a developer comes and puts the development plan in place, and those restrictive covenants are part of the deeds that people get when they buy in. And they are generally high-end properties for affluent people. I think that two points to be made about that. First of all, that shows how undesirable it is to have transient housing next door to you. When people are doing planned communities and high-end condos, they plan in advance that they're not going to allow that kind of behavior. Second, when you live like I do in just a regular old neighborhood with regular old people, we don't have restrictive covenants. We're not living behind the wall of some gated community. We are living, you know, in a regular neighborhood, and we have to rely on city zoning to protect our quality of life. And that's why zoning is so very important, because not all of us can afford or even want to live in those gated communities.
We have a woman who writes, I'm a landlord with long-term renters downtown. I'm also a downtown resident. As I listen to Roe, I have to wonder about the validity of these assertions about short-term renters. As a long-term landlord, I see very little difference between what I do for long-term renters and what I would do for short-term renters. What types of differences is Roe alleging that would not exist for long-term?
Well, certainly the weekend party house phenomenon is a product of short-term rentals, of renting out a house for a weekend to a wedding party, to a fraternity, or whatever. And we see that a lot downtown because we're walking distance to the bars. I'm sure Celette's guests up in the streetcar neighborhoods are a different group of people, and I'm sure she has very nice people in her places, but there are many short-term rentals that are going for these weekends that are just making party houses in our neighborhoods.
Is it possible that that's part of the qualitative difference here? If you're renting out a lovely little cottage for, say, a married couple for a weekend versus renting out a very large home with 6 bedrooms, you're more likely to get some of the partiers in those larger.
It may be. I have a very small 1,200-square-foot cottage that I rent out, and so there are, you know, physical limitations, and there are limitations in my lease as to, you know, how many people I can have in that house.
So is it possible you've had a better experience with short-term renters than some other people?
It is possible that I've had a better experience than some people, but I'm not. I don't see the statistics, and again, I think the police department would have the statistics on. You know, I have a long-term, I don't know if he's a renter or a homeowner across the street from me. He throws big parties, it looks like a church group, and it's great, but they block off the street, and the police are there. And is it a little bit of a nuisance? A little bit, yeah. But, I mean, it's fine with me. That you can't really tell the difference most of the time between a short-term rental and a long-term rental. I just found out recently that one of my neighbors in the house that I do not rent out is also renting out short term. I had no idea. I lived right next door. So I don't know that you can always tell. And I like that in the City of Wilmington survey, one of the first questions is, do you have short term renters in your neighborhood? And one of the possible answers is, I don't know. Because I guarantee you most people don't know.
And just quickly, this listener makes the point, this town consists of many people who work as freelancers or contract workers. They own homes and use short term rentals to help sustain them when they need to travel for work. This also allows someone to occupy their home while they're away rather than keeping it vacant, which promotes safety in neighborhoods rather than detracting from safety.
That seems to me to be a longer than 1 week rental, which is currently legal. A longer term rental fits in with the residential neighborhood. The emailer asked, was there a difference between short term renters and long term renters? Absolutely. The long term renters are my neighbors. I know them. You know, they come over to socialize. They look out for my house when I'm traveling. They know who belongs in the neighborhood and who doesn't. And so when we have problems, we know when to alert law enforcement. So yes, a long-term renter is a neighbor. That's clearly a residential use. That's what the code defines as a residential use. The short-term, less than a week, that's really a hotel room and a business use.
And we're hearing from another short-term rental owner here. She writes, we're Wilmington residents ourselves. Keep our places pristinely maintained. When we purchased homes, they were in need of repair. The row representative is painting short-term rental guests as disruptive transients. The folks we rent to are families, retired couples, and others who wish to enjoy all the amenities of our beautiful historic city. Many of these people are considering moving to Wilmington and are evaluating our area or searching for homes to purchase. Our guest book is full of wonderful comments about how much they enjoy staying in downtown in a home and about all the great restaurants and attractions they were able to enjoy within a short walk. Sterile hotels do not provide the same experience. Our guests are not disruptive transients. So we're hearing from a lot of people who are saying, I have a different experience. How different are people who rent out their homes to, say, a family or a married couple on a weekend? How different are they from B&Bs, bed and breakfasts, that are right in the downtown historic district? Why are bed and breakfasts not disruptive to neighborhoods?
I'm glad you asked me that question. Bed and breakfasts are a completely different animal from a short-term rental. First of all, a bed and breakfast is primarily a residence. The owner or manager under city code is required to live there on site. So it's their home. So it's primarily a residential use with an ancillary business purpose. Beds and breakfasts presented a problem for the neighborhoods a decade or so ago. There were getting to be too many of them. They were overwhelming the residential character of the neighborhood. A compromise was worked out with homeowners, with residents, with B&B owners, with city, and a regulatory scheme was devised so that beds and breakfasts would be allowed so that tourists would have the opportunity to stay in a residential neighborhood, but they would be regulated so that they did not overwhelm the neighborhood. For instance, again, the bed and breakfast owner or manager must live there and make that place his or her home. Second, there's only one B&B allowed per block downtown. So that way you never have too many. You have mostly a residential character. They don't overwhelm. That's the problem, again, with short-term rentals. You can have many, many on a block, and suddenly you don't have neighbors. Beds and breakfasts are regulated by the health department because they serve food. Only one kitchen is allowed because, again, it's a home. So beds and breakfasts provide tourists with that option, but because they are primarily residential, they don't overwhelm and they're consistent with the neighborhood.
So, Len Andrews.
So that's great, and it's good that you had people write in and said that they use either traditional bed and breakfast or Airbnb, which was set up on a bed and breakfast concept, that many times the owner is on site and renting out a portion of their home. And there's we promote choice in travel, though, responsibility and choice. And there are a lot of people who want to be in that situation with an on-site host. They like being with an on-site host. There are others who prefer privacy. There are others, I travel with my dogs. You probably don't want my dogs in your home. they're good dogs, but they're crazy. And we've traveled to many, many short-term rentals, but we prefer the privacy and the family style living of having our own kitchen and having our own space.
We have another email. Pam writes, I would never rent out my home long-term. I agree with Stilett, so that would not help housing. Most VRBO owners would never as well. Long-term renters do not take care of their environment. Kind of a sweeping generalization, Pam. Short-term rentals review owners This is interesting. And so those homes will be taken care of much better than housing some long-term renter. That is a part of the landscape now. There are reviews on the homeowners, and certainly that would contribute to some sort of responsibility, would it not, Sylvia Kochler?
Well, first of all, I have to say on behalf of all of my neighbors who are renters and not owners, I take issue with the idea that people who rent long-term are somehow less desirable than people who may be coming in for the weekend. I mean, we have many lovely people who rent for years and years in my neighborhood. And I have renters on the residential, on the row board, and have always, as long as I've been on the board. So I think it is wrong to say that all long-term renters are bad and all short-term renters are nice, affluent, quiet people, because those kind of generalizations, you know, they simply do not hold up.
And that makes my point, because it's the same. It goes the same the other way. You can't say that all long-term renters are your wonderful neighbors who take wonderful care of their property, and all short-term renters are party animals that want to trash the joint.
And we're hearing from more people who are saying, Alex writes, we recently went to the Charleston, South Carolina Food and Wine Festival. We could not have afforded that trip if we had to pay for a hotel versus renting through Airbnb. We're not transients. The homeowner has the right to refuse anyone who they're not completely comfortable with staying in their home. But Catherine Thurston from the city of Wilmington, as a zoning administrator, I imagine that you're looking at other cities around the state, possibly around the country, as to how they're dealing with these regulations.
We do have a staff member, Bethany Wendell, who has been doing the benchmarking, and she's looked at the 12 benchmark cities that City Council regularly requests that the city research prior to any kind of a text amendment. But she's also looking at other communities that have recently dealt with this issue, and I don't know the specifics of what she found from those communities, but I believe that that information will be available online at some point.
We also have an email from Bill who writes, my wife and I use B&Bs. The B&Bs aren't the reason we go to a location, nor would Airbnb pull us to a location. We have a coastal second home near Wilmington. If the short-term rentals are difficult to monitor, how do we know the visitors are paying the occupancy tax that supports the infrastructure, fire, police, amenities, and beach renourishment? All property owners share in the expense, but non-rental properties subsidize the additional costs of renters. That has been an issue, Celette Andrews, for some of these municipalities in terms of finding the way to regulate and track whether occupancy taxes is being paid all the time.
Absolutely, and I absolutely support the paying of all the taxes that are due on a property. Sylvia said earlier that, you know, the downtown should be for the homeowners that are paying the taxes. Well, we are homeowners and we are paying taxes. And in addition to the property taxes, we are also paying room occupancy taxes and bed taxes. I would just say that last August 2015, the Lumina News did an article on room occupancy taxes. And at the time, the county tax administrator said that they do spot audits, you know, as best they can, and that they rarely find people who aren't paying the tax. Airbnb has recently agreed to collect the taxes in North Carolina. I believe it was the first state that they agreed to collect the taxes in. And so they are collecting taxes. I don't know if it's both room occupancy taxes and sales tax. I get most of my business through VRBO. But what I have found are owners who are paying the taxes.
Okay, we have just a couple of minutes left. Sylvia Kochler, residents of Old Wilmington, in 30 seconds or so, how would you like to see this issue resolved? What would be the ideal in terms of going forward here?
I would like to see short-term vacation rentals continue to be permitted in business districts. I would like them to continue to be prohibited in residential neighborhoods. I would like to see the code amended so that the weekly rental rule is extended to something that is more enforceable. The city's telling us that they can't enforce the weekly rental rule. They might consider doing what Asheville does, which has adopted a 30-day rule for residential neighborhoods.
And Celette Andrews, what would you like to see going forward? What do you think would be fair?
Listeners can go to our website at ncalliance.net. They can also link to our petition. As of this morning, we had over 622 signatures, and there's a lot of great comments there that hopefully the city and our listeners can look at to see what the pulse is of the people who are have been signing the petition.
And we will be putting up the City of Wilmington's online survey that will be open until April 1st, when city staff will begin compiling all of the feedback that they've gotten. You can find it on our website later today if you're listening on Wednesday at whqr.org. It will be there on Saturday. And that's this edition of Coastline. Salette Andrews, Sylvia Kotchler, and Catherine Thurston, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Join us next Wednesday on Coastline when we take a look at the Affordable Care Act and its impact on local health care. That's Wednesday, March 30th at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Our producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of today's show, look for it on our website at whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.